Thank you for stopping by Living Waters World Online, the place where the river of God flows. Pastors Lawrence and Kimberly Richardson invite you on a journey to change the church, challenge the colleges, and charge into the community. Following messages from the series, go and preach to them.
All right, everybody turn to the book of Luke, chapter 1, verses 26 through 45. Holy Spirit, I pray that you have your way in this place on this morning. Continue to rest, rule, and abide with us, henceforth, now, and forevermore. We ask you, Father God, to speak, God, with power, with authority, Father God, and with an anointing that would destroy every single yoke. We thank you, Father God, that we're coming with hearts of expectation, Father, knowing that you're going to do and give us exactly what we need to give and do exactly what we need for you to do on this day in our lives in the name of Jesus. So, God, be the God that you are, the God that can speak to everybody's situation at the same time by the same word. Let this word reach every heart, God. Let them find a place where they are, God, and encourage them right now, Father, in the name of Jesus. And I ask you, Father God, to let me hide behind the cross, Father God. Let them only see you and let them only hear you, Father. I ask you, Father God, let them only expect your word, your voice, your power to move in this place on today. And we thank you, Father God, for bringing us here for such a time as this. For if you brought us in this place, Father, it's something that you want us to hear and something that you want us to receive. So we yield our hearts to you right now, Father. And we lift up our hands to you right now. And we say, have your way, Father. In the name of Jesus, let the words of my mouth, Father, and the meditation of my heart, let it be acceptable in your sight right now, Father, for you are my strength and you are my redeemer. Let your word come forth with power and anointing. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The book of Luke. Chapter 1, verses 26 through 45 is where we're going to find ourselves on this morning. When you have the word, say, I have the word. Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 45. And the word of the Lord reads as thus. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, greetings, favorite one, the Lord is with you. But she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. The angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I am a virgin? The angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. For that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age. And she, who was called barren, is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, behold, the bondslave of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Verses 36. Through 45. Stayed, and Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I am a virgin? The angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. And behold, Even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age. And she who was called barren is now in her sixth month, for nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word. And the angel departed. There's some things that God wants us to understand that look like it's dead and that it's not going to come to pass. There's some things that we have forgotten about, or some things that we just stop asking God for. And he wants to remind us that even that thing that we deemed dead, even that thing that we deemed just won't come to pass, that we're trying to just get used to, well, I guess it's just not going to happen for me. I guess that's just not what God has planned for me. God said, even that is possible with God. Now, at this time, on verse 39, at this time, Mary arose and went in a hurry to the hill country, to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she cried out with a loud voice and said, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord will come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what has been spoken to her by the Lord. As we search throughout the scriptures, we find that God used so many people that we would have considered unlikely candidates to do a great thing in the kingdom of God, for the kingdom of God. King David, one that God said was a man after his own heart, was a murderer and adulterer. Saul was a murderer of those who worshiped and believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he ended up, the one who was killing people who were Christians, ended up being one of the greatest ones that brought nations upon nations of people to Christ. Rahab was a harlot who, when the children of Israel went to go spy out the land, she hid the spies. And not only did she hide the spies, which made her pretty great, but what she did was, because she did that, her family survived what was happening, and she became a part of the promise that brought forth King David. And today, as we read in Luke 1, we find a young girl who was not being raised in a palace, but in Nazareth, a town in Galilee that did not have a reputation of splendor or grandeur. A young girl named Mary, someone who, like us, may be identified as an unlikely candidate for God to use to do great things in this earth. Today, I want to talk to you for a few moments about being an unlikely candidate. God wants to use the unlikely candidates in this season of our lives to do some great and some mighty things. Now, you may wonder, why is he picking people that people consider unlikely? Because he wants to show through them that he is the one that's in charge of who people are and who they're going to be. He wants to remind us that even though man is at the outer appearance, God looks at our heart. So unlikely candidate. So I don't know about you, but when I look back over my life, I realize that there's some things that I did that should have disqualified me a long time ago. There's some things that I said, some places that I went, some things that I entertained that should have disqualified me, but God just said, still, I'm going to use you. Now, I'm not by myself with that. It might be some of you out here that know, if I can be real right now, if you only knew what I did, what I have done, what I am doing, what I have been through, what I have allowed to happen to me, what I did to other people, then you would be like, how is God going to use her? Because if we would be honest, we say it sometimes to ourselves, how does God want to use me? Because we know our own stuff. Now, we may come with, you know, looking nice and having a smile on our face, but we are covering up some dirt, some stuff. And we thank God that God is going, in the midst of all that stuff, I'm still going to use you. An unlikely candidate for my purpose. An unlikely candidate for my glory. An unlikely kingdom, an unlikely person to bring some things to pass in the kingdom of God. And that makes me shout hallelujah. That makes me grateful. That gives me hope. That lets me know that God has not forgotten about me and that God is a forgiving and a merciful and a wonderful God. Unlikely. Unlikely means not likely to be true or to occur or to have occurred. Unlikely means having a probability too low to inspire to believe. Let me say that one again. Having a probability too low to inspire, to believe. I can't believe God wants to use someone like me. I've been in some places so low that I can't even, looking up is hard. Because when I look up, I still see how low I am. But God is telling me today that he wants to use me, an unlikely candidate, to do great things. He said, why not? If I can use King David, then I can use you. He was a murderer and an adulterer. What he did was horrible, but his heart was right. And what God wants us to understand in the midst of our mess, when we mess up, get ourselves back up and make sure our heart is right. God, give me clean hands and a pure heart. Because what flows out of my heart are the issues of life. So God, I need you to help my heart to be right. Even when my mind's not right, God, help my heart to be right. Even when my conversation's not right, help my heart to be right. Because my heart will fix my mind. My heart will fix my conversation. My heart will fix my actions. God, give me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Clean up my heart, God. He was an adulterer. He was a murderer. And Saul was like getting letters, getting permission to go kill folk. I'll kill them for you. I got that. I can kill them for you. How many people have we killed with our words, our actions? How many people have we tried to destroy? And God says, but I'm still use you anyway. Because God could take that Saul and turn him into Paul. And not only would he change your name, he'll change the way you think and your perception of things. God, give me clean hands, and God, give me a pure heart. So God used Rahab, a harlot. Now we talk about people like that. God gonna use her? Y'all know what she's been doing? Do y'all know what she does? Do y'all know what she looks like? Do you know what they say about her? Let me back that up. God, do you know what she's been doing? God, do you know what I've been doing? God, do you know where I've been? What I allowed to happen to me? What I encouraged? What I asked for? What I got money for? What I didn't get paid for, but I just did anyway? Rahab, a harlot. You're going to use her? Someone who's destroyed marriages, her? Someone whose self-esteem is so low, she'll do anything for anyone at any given time, her? And God said, why not? I use you. See, what happens is we forget where we come from and what God has brought us through. So before you turn your nose up and before you begin to say what she can't do and what she didn't do, turn your finger this way and say, God, but help me with what I'm doing wrong. Because just because we don't see it don't mean it's not happening. And even though we don't see it, God sees and knows everything that we do. And he still decides to bless us. He still decides to call us closer. He still decides to forgive us. He still decides to clean us up, to turn us around, and place our feet back on the right track. So God is going to use some unlikely candidates, and I'm so glad about that this morning. I didn't grow up in the right house. I didn't grow up on the right side of town. I might not have had enough money. Whatever your situation is, God says, so what? I'm going to use you. You're still a candidate for my kingdom. So I need you to understand this morning that no matter what your situation is like, no matter what you've done, no matter what you've thought, no matter what you're doing right now, fix it, clean it up, and know that God's ready to use you. Amen? Amen. A candidate, a person who seeks an office, a person who is deserving of or seems destined for a certain thing, a certain task. We have been called, we have been destined for purpose and destiny. There's some things that God has called us to do that he has for us to do specifically, us. There's some things that we desire to do, but God says, that's not for you. You do this. Yeah. Like for me, I want to sing so bad. That's why I had to have Smokey sing for me this morning. I could not sing God is Able. Let me tell you something. I tried. I was in the mirror trying to sing it, but I realized, you ever put your finger over your ear and hear how you sound? So I realized Smokey going to have to do that for me this morning, sing God is Able. Amen. Yeah. I want to do that. I desire to do that, but that's not where I'm supposed to be. How many of us are like that? We're in somebody else's stuff and out of place doing something else that we think that we want to do or looks good to do or why can't we do? And God says, but come over here. I need you right here. You're going to be effective over here, not over there. You might be able to do it, but I'm not telling you to do it. I'm telling you to stand over here and do this. What happens? We see that what other people are doing and gift that they have, and we want that. And God says, but what about what I gave you? While you're all into that gift and that purpose and that person's stuff, God says, come over here with you. I got to fix your stuff and put you in a place so you can bless somebody else with the gift that I gave you. I gave it specifically to you. There's an assignment for our lives, God, and guys, and we cannot miss the opportunity. We can no longer let people or things or whatever happens in our life to halt us anymore. Because we speak a good game, but when we leave these walls, real life happens. And it's not always able to handle that easily. I didn't think my child was going to be like that. I talked about that person's child, so my child ended up doing the same thing. Watch what you say. I tell people all the time at my job, I tell parents, don't ever say never. Don't ever say what your child won't do. You know why I think that? Because my mother, if she knew half the stuff that I did, come on, y'all, is it just me? Where I was, when I wasn't supposed to be there, what I did, and she would go, not my child. And I'll go, yes, ma'am, I did it. We don't want everything that we've done to come out. But we have to understand that there's some things in life that even in all of that stuff are good or bad or indifferent, all stuff that was happening, it still does not disqualify us from working in the kingdom of God. Amen. Unlikely candidates. And coming in, he said to her, greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you. But she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. In this text, Mary is visited by Gabriel, an angel of the Lord. And surprisingly, as opposed to being amazed by the fact that she was standing in front of and talking with a real live angel, like I would have been like pumped, like, oh my gosh, there's a real live angel right here. Like, oh my gosh, look how big he is. Look how beautiful he is. Oh my gosh. Oh my, can you see what I just did yesterday? Oh my God. I mean, I would be like so pumped and like, oh my gosh, in awe that a real live angel is standing in front of me. One who dwells in heaven and one who sings holy, holy, holy before the throne of God. One who dwells with God and communes with God. One that God trusts to deliver a message to us. Gabriel was a messenger of God. One, instead of being amazed in awe of all that stuff, the scripture said that she was perplexed. She was confused. She was stunned and shocked. Not by who was standing in front of her, but by what he said to her. You see, the Bible doesn't say what she was doing, where she was, or even if she was alone when Gabriel appeared to her. So I can just imagine her looking around and saying to herself, favorite one, who are you talking to? Are you talking to me? Like I can imagine her saying, am I overhearing somebody else's conversation? Maybe somebody else is over there. Maybe he's talking, he cannot possibly be calling me favored. He can't be possibly talking to me. It has to be someone else. Maybe I'm overhearing somebody else's conversation. Maybe I stumbled across what he's saying to somebody else. Maybe I'm just hearing things. Because I know this man then just called me favored. Then I thought about what the word favorite means, and I came up with this. Someone who was deemed as being or treated a little more special than others. Someone who someone else shows partiality for. Someone who may be highly esteemed. Someone extra special. Then I asked God, why was it so hard for her to believe that Gabriel was talking to her and that he implied all these wonderful things about her when he called her favorite one? And as I impatiently waiting for God to give me this profound life-changing response that I can share with you this morning, I clearly heard this. Why are you so shocked? You don't believe what I say about you? Wow. But I'm not alone. Many of us have heard God say some things and in hard times we have totally and emphatically not believed what God said. His word says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. But honestly, how often do we really believe that? We are a royal priesthood, a chosen generation. How often do we carry ourselves like that? We can do all things through him, through Christ, because he strengthens us. How many times do we feel defeated, like we're not going to be able to do that? We can't do it. We can't get that together. We're not going to be able to accomplish that goal. We can't get that done. That we are more than conquerors, but how many of us walk around with our heads down like we're defeated? This one hit us pretty hard. This one knocked us out. This one, I'm down for the count. But God says that we're not just conquerors, we're more than conquerors. Sometimes as we're walking through this journey called life, all the wonderful things the Word of God says about us doesn't immediately register. If we would be honest this morning, at times it may not even seem to be relevant or truthful. That's because we focus entirely too much on our past and our present situation, our circumstances, or perplexities that we have a hard time seeing or believing past them. This could have been the state that Gabriel finds Mary in. You see, the Bible doesn't say anything about her personal life. All we know is that she lived in Nazareth. We know a little bit about her family bloodline, that she has a cousin named Elizabeth, and that she was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph. Can I be honest? Y'all, we don't even know if she liked the brother. We don't know if she loved him. We don't know if she wanted to marry him. All we know is she was espoused to him. We know nothing about how she felt about that situation. All we know is that situation she was in. We have no idea what that meant to her. We don't know if she had a mother or a father. We don't know if she was the popular girl in the village or the unpopular girl in the village. We don't know anything about her life other than the little bit I just shared. But what we do know was that her relationship, what we do know was that God was pleased with her. What we do know is that whatever state that she was in, God chose her on purpose. Point number one, God chose you on purpose. God chose you on purpose. So I came to tell you today that in spite of all you've done, in spite of what you have been through, in spite of what others have said about you or you said about yourself, in spite of what you are currently doing or not doing, that God has a plan for your life. And in spite of it all, or in some cases, because of it all, God wants to use us. We must remember that God knows it all. And again, he still wants to use us. He still chose us on purpose. You may be saying, me, yeah, right. All right, well, that sounds good and all, but you don't know me. I mean, you really don't know me. All you see is the smile that I intentionally put on my face to hide my pain or the disappointment, the depression that lies within me, the lies that have been told on me, the lies that I have told, the things that I've done, or at least the things that I've allowed people to do to me, the tears that I shed, the inadequacies I feel, the thoughts and desires that I have to constantly battle with. You don't know me, and you're right, I don't. But God does, and he wants me to remind you that he will wipe away every tear from your eyes, and that weeping may endure for a night, but that joy is going to come in the morning, that you are stronger than you think you are, that he is a merciful and a just and a forgiving God. Honestly, he forgives us more than we forgive ourselves. And check this out. He forgives us more than we forgive others. And we got to be careful about that. How many of us say the Lord's Prayer when we pray? Y'all know the Lord's Prayer? You know the Lord's Prayer? Let's say it together. Ready? All right, now, wait. We're going to say depth or, you know, we got different words. We're going to say depth or trespass. Which one are we going to say? Forgive us our depths or trespasses. Which one are we going to say? We got to be unified, right? We're going to say trespasses. Okay, let's go. Our Father. Let's do it together. Who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name together. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Let's do that again. As we forgive those who trespass against us. Let's go back a little bit more. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. So we're saying, God, forgive me as I forgive others. Woo. Do we really want God to do that? Are you sure? We have an issue with forgiving. How many know that forgiving is not easy? I mean, if it is, tell me what the method is, and I'll run with it. We can bottle up. We can get paid on that one. Forgiveness is not easy, but it's necessary. And you might not even like the fact that you have to forgive, but you still have to do it. Not just for their sake, but for whose sake? For your sake. Because you're saying, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. So if that girl who shares your cubicle, you know, if she says one more thing, you're going to knock her out, fix it? If that person steals your lunch one more time out the refrigerator with your name on it, we're going to have an issue. I mean, I remember being in a place, God, except let me just knock them out real fast. And then I'll pray for them, raise them back up. I'm talking about the power of God. Forgive us as we forgive those who trespass against us. God says that he forgives us more than we forgive others. And here's a bigger thing, God. We have to know how to forgive ourselves. There's some things that we did. We know we shouldn't have done any. We shouldn't have done it. And some things we didn't know any better. That's what people were doing around us. That's what we saw. That's what we heard. That's what we thought. That's what was going on around us. So we just did it, not knowing that it was wrong, not knowing how damaging it would be, not knowing how it would affect our future. Soul ties are no joke, y'all. Amen. That's why God gives us rules. Follow. Don't do this. Don't do this. Don't. It's a reason why you're 35 and still thinking about Kenny when you were 16. It's a reason. There's a reason why when you walk by and you see she, your mind still goes someplace. It's a reason. What are you going to do about that? Dear God has given us stuff to not do intentionally. But that does not mean that we always follow that. Don't touch the stove if it's hot. Don't touch the stove if it's hot. Don't touch the stove if it's hot. Ow, it's hot. Duh. But now you got third degree burn. So you've asked God to heal, and you got the burn, but now you're going to sometimes see the scar from what you've done. And what happens is we see our scars, and it reminds us of where we were, as opposed to the victory that we had over that thing. So God is wonderful. And God wants us to know that he chose us on purpose. He didn't make a mistake. He knew everything, how it was going to happen. Check this out, God. God's not sitting in heaven going, oh, man, I know that was going to happen. Oh, man, oh, man. Ooh, that was a hard one. How's she going to handle that one? Wow, oh, that was a good one right there. And how am I going to fix that? Right. God's not in heaven doing that. He knows exactly what's going to happen to you, when it's going to happen to you, and he's giving you exactly what you need to get over it.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Living Waters World Online. If you were blessed by this message or know someone who will be blessed by this message, please click the link below for more information on how to receive the full-length copy. We hope you are encouraged, and please remember, this is the place where the river of God flows.